Final hour of the Chase and Big Joe show here on 102.5 The Game. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, the speaker, and Parker Kelly behind the glass. Boys, we're ready for it. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's that time.
Let's play Where Are They Now?
I've waited about 4 weeks for this game.
Nick Frazier needs to make his return.
It's time.
And since you have played last,
yes,
you played the first couple editions.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Lyman and I have made some revisions. You have a pen and paper now. That's correct. To prevent stealing the other person's topic. Now that we have pen and paper, you can't just sway your answer easily.
Okay.
It is written down. You cannot change it once it's written down. Mm-hmm. Reminder of the rules. The first three are in North America, that is the United States or Canada. The last two are anywhere else in the world.
Okay.
Mexico, Venezuela, anywhere. If we get to a tiebreaker, I will give you a career path of a former or active athlete.
Oh.
I will name all the teams. I'll give you the sport prior to that. Your job is to tell me the athlete. Remember, 1 point for league, or sorry, 1 point for country, mm-hmm. 2 points for specific team.
Okay.
Are we ready, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah.
Adam says that he wants to play as well.
Okay.
So we'll have four.
So you and Adam can...
Or three.
Okay.
So you're hosting.
Yes.
I think it's interesting how...
You and Adam can be a joint contingent.
So, Adam, let me tell you, Connor decided to host today because he seems to have not been able to find a way to beat me yet in this game. So I think it's smart of you, Connor. Very smart of you to host.
Well, I hosted because no one else would do it. Mm. All right. Go ahead and hit that music. Let's play... Where Are They Now? We start with a former Mississippi State Bulldog, cornerback Cam Dantzler.
Yes.
Played in the NFL for the Saints, the Bills. Where is Cam Dantzler now?
He was played in the secondary, if I remember correctly.
Yes, former cornerback.
Yep.
Yes. Go ahead and write your answers down.
All right.
I will stall while you write. Cam Dantzler, let's see, 26 years old, from Hammond, Louisiana. As I said, went to St. Thomas Aquinas Regional Catholic High School.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Catholic
sure
man.
Yep.
Just like us. Mississippi State. Where is Cam Dantzler? I believe he won the Egg Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
At one point.
He did.
Played
him and Jonathan Banks both.
Jonathan Banks. That is right. All right, do we have our answers ready?
I do.
Not yet. So, where can you tell me where he was drafted?
Oh.
Like, what round?
What round? Let's see.
Third or fourth, I believe?
Let's see here.
Because if I remember, he was a mid-round guy.
Give me just a second while I look this up. He was drafted in the third round.
Yeah.
With the 89th overall pick in 2020. Cam Dantzler. Was he all SEC?
Ooh, he might have been.
If not, he was an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Because
he was pretty
good. He was really
good,
yeah.
All right, are we ready? Do we have our answers?
Yes.
Nick Frazier, take it away, Bulldog.
I think it's going to be wrong, but going UFL, San Antonio Brahmas.
Okay. The San Antonio Brahmas.
I also said UFL.
Okay,
St. Louis Battlehawks.
You both get a point. Okay. He is in the UFL. He plays for the Memphis Showboats.
Oh, I should have known. That's pretty local of him.
So we are tied 1-1.
Okay.
Our next contestant, former Tennessee Vol basketball player. Where is Jordan Bone?
He went to Innsworth High School, I believe.
Did he?
Yeah.
Jordan Bone.
Jordan Bone.
Believe he was on the team that lost to Purdue.
Do we
in
get
March Madness.
Half a point for what continent he's playing on?
Sure.
Okay, perfect.
Well, they're all in North America.
Oh, the first three. That's right. First three in North America. Oh, okay, never mind. Oh, I know where. I know exactly where it is.
Don't be like D-Mace, who we played with last week, and I asked him, where does this player play? I can't remember exactly who it was, and he just wrote overseas.
That's great.
I'm like, yes, D-Mace.
That is cheatery at its
finest
right there.
That's a great
They are all overseas. All right, do we have our answers ready for Jordan Bone?
Yes.
We do.
Parker Kelly, take it away.
Okay, I had a little help from Adam on this one, but he is in the G League.
Okay.
Playing for the Rio Grande Valley Vipers.
Okay. Nick Frazier.
It's pretty accurate. I was going to say G League with the Pistons organization.
You are both correct. He is in the G League. He plays for the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. So we are tied at two.
Do we know what organization that is? Fort Wayne Ants?
Give me 2 seconds.
That's fine.
The Pacers? I'm going to guess the Pacers.
Putting you on the spot there.
I believe it is the Pacers, actually.
Fort Wayne, Indiana?
Yeah.
Indiana Pacers?
It's the Pacers.
Okay.
Yes, because Oscar Tshiebwe played there.
Can I get an extra point for that?
No.
So we're tied two all. Okay.
Our final contestant of North America, former Tennessee Titan, tight end, who I thought was next up, Austin Hooper.
Ooh.
Where is Austin Hooper?
I don't know.
Play for the Titans, the Falcons, left the Titans to go to the Las Vegas Raiders. Didn't do much there. But I thought Austin Hooper was going to be the next great tight end. And he was not. He was subpar. But that began the Chig story.
Yes.
Chig
story that's still untold.
Who we know and love. Are we ready for Austin Hooper?
I believe so.
Nick Frazier, take it away.
He's still in the NFL.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the New England Patriots.
Okay. Parker Kelly.
Said the exact same thing.
You are both correct.
There we go.
So we are tied at five.
Love it.
Austin Hooper is in the NFL for the New England Patriots.
Hey, this is a nail biter right here.
Yeah, we
have our stuff.
Last week, D-Mace and Lyman played. It ended 3-2.
Ooh.
It was a pitcher's duel.
Okay.
All right, so we are done with North America. We move outside of the continent. At number four, a former Atlanta Brave, New York Yankee, New York Met, San Diego Padre, you name it, he probably played there. Robinson Cano, former infielder. Yes.
I know exactly what league he plays for.
Pretty beloved here. He's 42 and still playing.
This is not North America. We've moved on.
This is outside. This can be anywhere in the world. Was drafted by, let's see, the Yankees. Played for the Mariners. The New York Mets, the Padres, the Marlins. Retired with the Barves. Where is Robinson Cano? Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It looks like Parker Kelly's still going, so I'll keep talking. He was the 2017 All-Star Game MVP, 2011 Home Run Derby winner. Something else in baseball happened in 2011. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it sounds pretty good. Where is Mr. Cano? Are you ready, Parker?
I'm ready.
All right, go for it.
So I said he's in Japan.
Okay.
I don't know if this is their team name or not, but the Taiwan Tigers.
That is a real team.
That is a team.
It is unfortunately incorrect.
I'm going to go with what I know. It's the Mexican League. I think he plays for the Chupacabras. He played with Trevor Bauer.
He is in Mexico.
Oh, my gosh.
He plays for Diablos Rojos del Mexico, the Red Devils.
I'm on the brink of my first loss on this game.
You are.
Point.
Okay, so what's the score update now?
So Nick Frazier leads 6-5 as we reach our final contestant.
All right, just get this one wrong, Frazier, and let me get it right.
Where are they now?
Don't I technically get 2 points for that because it said the Mexican League and it's in Mexico?
You didn't get the exact team correct.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair. Just trying to chew away some points if I could.
Yeah. Don't push the judge. I'll take points away.
Okay.
Our final contestant today on Where Are They Now, former Los Angeles Laker, you name it, he probably played there, Michael Beasley. Where is Michael Beasley? Let's see some things about Michael Beasley.
Played for the Knicks at one point.
Played for
not?
The Knicks, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's played for pretty much everywhere. I most remember him on the Lakers because he played with LeBron when he first got to L.A. Didn't really do anything notable in his career. He's kind of like Trevor Ariza, just kind of floated around.
He made his money and left.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. He's not in the Puerto Rican League. I know that for a fact.
All right. Man. Are we ready for Michael Beasley?
I'm ready.
It looks like we're still working.
I think I have an answer.
Okay.
That's all I got. Just the league.
Just the league?
Just the league.
Might be all you need.
Yeah.
Nick Frazier.
I say he is in the Chinese Basketball League. And
make up a team.
I don't know. The Red Dragons. The Chinese Red Dragons. I don't know.
Okay. Parker Kelly.
This is – okay. I said China.
Okay.
I don't know Beijing. I don't know their team name. So I'm just going to say Team Beijing.
Oh, you guys are going to be so disappointed when I tell you this. He is in China for the Shanghai Sharks. Oh.
Are you kidding me?
The one team,
the most popular
the
team in China.
Everyone knows is the Sharks. So Nick Frazier gets on the win column as you hear Adam Vingan sigh and sadness.
Everybody loves when I
lose. Nick Frazier is on the win column.
Love it.
With a 7-6 win.
I can't bear to look at myself right now.
And it's a good thing we didn't go to a tie because I didn't have a tiebreaker ready.
Okay.
Can you come up with a tiebreaker on the spot?
Yeah, probably sure. So, yeah.
Basketball. Oklahoma City Thunder, Washington Wizards, Houston Rockets, Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers, Utah Jazz, Denver Nuggets.
John Wall.
Parker Kelly?
I need you to repeat those teams one more time.
Okay. Are you locking in John Wall? Is that your answer?
I just probably not.
This counts for absolutely nothing.
Oh, okay, then yeah, John Wall, okay. I'm locking it in, yeah.
All right, Oklahoma City Thunder, Washington Wizards, Houston Rockets, Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers, Utah Jazz, Denver Nuggets.
Can it count?
It
is Russell Westbrook.
It is Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Well done. But Nick Frazier still wins, 7-6.
Thank you very much.
Edging one out. Good job.
After a month off for a hiatus here, I'm back on Where Are They Now? And big winner.
Good job. All right. So that is the game taking the world by storm, by the way. People love it. Like, we get it all on the text line. People are playing along.
I'm telling you, it's one of those games where you just, you got to love Where Are They Now? Like, Jimmer Fredette, where is he? We don't know.
He's retired.
Exactly. He might be on one of these little shows we have going forward.
Is he still active?
No, he just retired.
He's no longer active.
Allegedly, Michael Beasley is currently in the big three.
Oh.
But that is just a...
It's like an off-season thing.
So, during the season, he plays for the Sharks of Shanghai, which is one of two Chinese basketball teams I know.
You think the Sharks would send us a jersey?
I think we should get one from the Guangdong Tigers.
Yes, we should get one from the Guangdong Tigers.
I should send us a box. Yeah, and we should unbox it.
Hey, Jake! Look what I got here, man.
It's a box from the Shanghai Sharks.
Have you ever seen John Gruden's unboxings?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen numerous amounts.
Michael Beasley plays here. Former NBA draft.
You know, when I think of the Shanghai Sharks, man, I think of Ben Simmons. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, we got more coming here on the Chasing Big Joe show on the other side. Join us here for that. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Why interrupt this song? It's so great, Bob Marley, man. Don't worry.
I feel like I'm on an island.
Yeah, I feel like that's where Will Levis will be after July 29th.
This is what they play when you walk into the gates of Rayon City.
Yes, you're right. The golden gates of Rayon City.
The stone castle.
But that's how I feel when I walk into a Buc-ee's.
Yeah, I mean.
Overrated.
Whoa.
Buc-ee's is overrated.
Easy now.
You heard it.
Easy. You're now upsetting Dr. Crane here. Don't.
Jail.
Yeah. I wouldn't say jail, but it's pretty close.
D.C.
I'm just saying. Buc-ee's is where you got to enjoy yourself. Brisket on the board. Like, that doesn't get you riled up.
No, I appreciate the food. It's just expensive.
Somewhat. The Buc-ee nuggets are pretty good as well.
I'm a big brisket sandwich guy. I do appreciate that.
We got to remember, Connor is on a college budget, so.
Yeah, it's fair. That's fair.
I make money. I'm here every day.
Speaking of college, by the way, getting into college football this segment, talking about the preseason poll. Connor, you kind of brought this up during the break, man. Like, what are your thoughts on the preseason poll going into this season?
I think you're going to see some surprises play out throughout the season. There are some, like Vanderbilt is ranked number 13th, which I think is a little bit surprising. I would have had them higher. I would have had them in the 9-10 range, which is where Tennessee is.
Really?
I don't think they're better than Tennessee. I think on paper, Tennessee is probably the better team in the state of Tennessee. But I think you're going to see some surprises. Let me see if I can pull up the full list here. I believe it was Texas 1, Georgia 2, Alabama. Here we go. Alabama 3. LSU 4. Sorry, it's making me scroll forever. South Carolina 5, Florida 6, Ole Miss 7, Texas A&M 8, Tennessee 9, Oklahoma 10, Auburn 11, 12 Missouri, 13 Vanderbilt, 14 Arkansas, 15 Kentucky and 16 Mississippi State. Now, if you ask me, Kentucky should be number one clear cut, but I'm just kidding. Yeah. But there are teams ahead of Vanderbilt that I think I would take Vanderbilt over. I think I would take Vanderbilt over Auburn. I would take them over Missouri. You could sway me on Oklahoma. I do like Mateer. I think he's a good quarterback. But I just feel like Vanderbilt brings back so much experience.
Yeah,
I love Eli Stowers. I think he's the best tight end in the SEC and could arguably be the best tight end in college football.
Yeah, agreed.
He's a first-round NFL draft pick. But, I mean, the SEC, it just tells you how stacked the SEC is because all of these teams, majority of them, in the top 10, I could see making a run.
Yeah.
Maybe not winning the whole thing. Like, Tennessee's going to have a down year. Tennessee, I would pick them to go like 8-4, 9-3.
That's respectable. I'd say 8-4 is respectable.
But that doesn't mean they're a bad team because this SEC is just so loaded. There are teams in here like South Carolina, for example. Major, major dark horse, but getting a lot of attention because they have the quarterback. The quarterback play is what I'm looking at most. You have Garrett Nussmeier, Arch Manning, DJ Lagway, Lenoris Sellers, John Mateer. Just lots of Austin Simmons at Ole Miss is a young guy I was looking at. You have lots of talent under center. It's just a matter of can it get you as far as you possibly can. And I think that's going to be the case for a lot of these SEC teams is how does the quarterback play fare against others?
Yeah, and I think for Vanderbilt, because you talked about Vanderbilt earlier when you talk about quarterbacks, I think Pavi, like you said, brings back a lot of experience. But for Vanderbilt to capitalize on a year like this, like last year they capitalized being the number one team in the nation, but also this year if they end up going – 9-win season or a 10-win season. I think that only just, and maybe that's a little too far-fetched for some people, but I think it's very doable for Vanderbilt to do stuff like that. And now it just comes down to our team's going to finally figure out when they go up against those top 10, top 15 teams, if Pavi is going to take it out wide, just play the long
game. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be so much harder this year for Vanderbilt.
Yeah. And so if Vandy can get a successful 8-4 season, 9-3 season, I think that would catapult their program into another tax bracket to getting players because that you no longer have to worry about the Pavia, Eli Stowers window of opportunity. You can go and actually get solid recruits that are going to primarily make Vanderbilt a powerhouse in some regard. Tennessee fans may not like it. Parker may not like it, but hearing Pavia say that Vanderbilt, he wants Vanderbilt to be the pipeline or the like powerhouse college university in Tennessee, I think says a lot for just the future of Vanderbilt. Not only just to blow smoke maybe, but I think he's really trying to set up something for the future for Vanderbilt. Anything the guy says, he owns up to it, which I respect a lot about.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Like I didn't mind it. Like I actually loved it. I loved it because like yes, I'm a Tennessee fan, but I want to cover the sport nationally, so I try to remove as much bias as possible.
There you go.
I loved it.
That's like, how you do it.
Well, Diego Pavia beat Auburn when he was at New Mexico State. He beat Alabama, so he has backed it up. And think about it. It is free advertising. When has Vanderbilt ever had a superstar quarterback? He was the most talked about person at SEC Media Days behind Arch Manning. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Some may say he was probably talked about more than Arch Manning.
Looking at Vanderbilt's schedule, Lyman and I talked about this a lot last week. We came to the conclusion that there are 9 winnable games on Vanderbilt's schedule. That doesn't mean verbatim that they are going to win them, which is seeming to be a confusion among people on the text line every time we say this. But Charleston Southern, I think you can win that one. Mm-hmm. At Virginia Tech at night, tough one, but I think on paper Vanderbilt has a better roster than Virginia Tech. You could win that one. At South Carolina is a toss-up. I think you can win that. Winnable. Georgia State's a win. Utah State, probably a win. At Alabama, I wouldn't bet on Vanderbilt there. Versus LSU, at home, but I would probably take LSU.
Maybe.
Missouri here at home, I think you can win that game. At Texas, I think is probably not happening.
Yeah.
I would going back on LSU, I think we could count that as a winnable game. Do you think?
I think so, too. Okay. LSU, to me, is kind of in a limbo a little bit, trying to turn that next page with Brian Kelly, trying to figure out if they can be the true powerhouse that they've always been in the SEC. I don't know. With Brian Kelly, when he was at Notre Dame, he hit a ceiling. And I think that ceiling carried over with him to Baton Rouge, which basically kind of capped them out for the most part.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because they're a really good ball club when they do produce. And for Vandy's standpoint, I think they need to take advantage of it.
Yeah. At Texas, I think we could chalk that up as probably a loss.
Yep.
Auburn here at home, I think you can win. Kentucky here at home, you're not winning. I'm just kidding. You're probably winning that one. And then at Tennessee, I would...
That's coin flip.
Coin flip.
I would say it's a coin flip this year.
I would probably bet Tennessee. So of the 12 games... Let's see. Yeah, nine of them. The only ones I would count as probably a loss are at Alabama, at Texas, and at Tennessee.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
It's not verbatim that they're going to win all of those, obviously. The season hasn't started. It hasn't played out. Injuries could happen.
To have a preseason prediction like that, 9-10 wins, and you're talking about Vanderbilt, again, we're turning the page into a new chapter that Clark Lea has established as the Vanderbilt of the future. And it's just impressive to talk about, honestly.
Yeah. Now, looking at Tennessee, and I know we're up against it, but real quick.
Yeah.
Do you think, I understand every time we bring this up, Tennessee fans get upset and say, well, we're not replacing, you know, prime Tim Tebow here. But you do lose a quarterback who had some sort of stardom and was ascending into the ranks of a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You lose that, and you kind of desperately replace him with Joey Aguilar, who I refer to as G5 Joey.
That's good.
Do you think they can find some sort of success with him under the center?
I think Tennessee's in the same boat Vanderbilt was when Pavia came to the SEC. They're getting a guy that's coming from a G5 school that, you know, produced at a pretty high level in Group of Five games, but it's more of just that unknown of can he really play in the SEC? Because it's a whole nother breed of football when you play in the SEC. That's my only issue. As for Joey Aguilar, when it comes to playing with Tennessee, it's coming down to, are they going to get 7 wins or 8 wins? Like, you're talking about 8-4. I'm leaning towards a 7-5.
Really?
Yeah. Something about it, I feel like Tennessee is going to have some issues when it comes to quarterbacks. You're going to probably start Joey Aguilar one game, or midway through a game, if Aguilar's not doing well, you put in the back of what, Merklinger, is that right? You put in Merklinger, and then it's just going to be a cycle back and forth, back and forth.
So I lean towards 8-4 because I don't think they're beating Alabama. Yeah. I don't think they're beating Georgia, and I don't think they're winning at Florida. Then I think, in typical Tennessee fashion, they'll lose one they're not supposed to, like in Arkansas or a Kentucky or a Mississippi State or something like that.
Yeah.
That's just how I see it. It obviously could very well not shake out that way, because that's our job, is to make predictions, and you can agree or disagree. I don't really care. But that's just how I see it.
Yeah, that's fair. I just, if Tennessee ends up going 6-6 or 7-5, and then they go and get a quarterback in, let's say, the portal or next offseason, and he has a lot more, you know, higher praise. I know they got McIntyre and waiting in the reins, but at the same time, I'm not high on McIntyre either. So maybe that's just me being a negative Nelly.
And if you think, sorry,
no, go ahead.
If you think I'm a Vanderbilt homer, I have them going 5-7.
Really, Vanderbilt?
Yes, I have them losing at South Carolina, at Virginia Tech, at Alabama,
right,
to LSU, at Texas, and at Tennessee.
Interesting. I don't know. I'm on the.
Was that 6 or 7? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 6, 4. 5, 6. Auburn. Auburn is the other one.
Okay.
I could see them losing to Auburn.
Gotcha.
So 5-7 for me.
Okay. Well, I'll give you my predictions later on down the road. But as for right now, 1-2 by the game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back to school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into a new school year with the confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hours, and elevated hospitality. More here on the Chase and Big Joe Show with Brett Kern on the other side, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here on 102.5 The Game, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, joined by former Titans punter Brett Kern. Brett, how you doing this morning, man?
Doing good. Just got done with some high school football practice. So kind of trying to beat the heat, even though it's pretty hot out already. But I'll take right now rather than 3 o'clock on the turf. So
there you go. Are they in helmets or just no pads at all?
The helmets, shells, and then full pads come next week. So kind of slowly ramping it up, getting ready for some high school football to start here in about a month.
Yeah, can't wait. High school football in Tennessee for sure is something special. But kind of want to get in a little bit of some Titans. Obviously, the big news with Will Levis today, going to be out the whole season in 2025 with that shoulder surgery coming up July 29th. Just your assessment on all of this and how that plays out for the Titans going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of questions about, like, you know, what was going to happen with Will, and, you know, they try to trade him, do the all that kind of stuff. And I think for him, you know, coming off the injury that he had last year and, you know, obviously coming back into this year, throwing, and I mean, if it's not 100%, you know, and he has the option, you know, he's his own business entity, right? Every player is, they're their own business. And so for him, I think feeling like, you know, for him to be 100%, you know, to get the surgery is probably the best thing for him. And so obviously he's going to get the surgery and then obviously take his time to rehab and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, come back next year. So, obviously I know the Titans and him talked about it, probably to length. And, this is what he felt was best for him. And it sounds like they're on the same page. And so now it's, I think that probably saves a little bit of the, you know, Will Levis went, 18 for 20 and Cam only went 10 for 20. So now what are we going to do? All that, you know, craziness that happens during training camp and evaluating every practice and every throw and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, for Cam, obviously that maybe allows him, whether he was thinking about it or not, you know, in the back of his head, it still allows him to go out there and know that he's the guy, to go out there and obviously to start training camp tomorrow with practice on Wednesday to really come out of the gate, you know, on the same page with his guys and to pick up from, you know, what was a fairly successful off season, to get ready for the season.
Brett, you just said it. Cam Ward is officially the guy with Will Levis out. But in terms of Brian Callahan, the head coach, the guru, or quarterback guru, how much pressure does Levis being out for the year put on him with Cam Ward being the starter?
I think there's pressure on everybody. You know, whether it's Callahan to Cam Ward, I mean, you're talking about jobs that are on the line. And I think, you know, even for Cam, like the last thing he wants to do is, like you don't want to go down that carousel of, well, we didn't have a great year, and then all of a sudden Callahan, you know, potentially gets fired, and then all of a sudden you got a new coach coming in, now I have a new coordinator. Because I think we know we have plenty of examples of guys that come into the league that are high draft picks, and obviously they go to teams that aren't, you know, really successful off the gate. And, you know, they start going through the whole coordinator thing, right? The new coach, look at Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, right? I mean, I feel like every – you know, 2 years, maybe even a year, he might be getting a new offensive coordinator. Every 2 years, maybe 3 years, it's a new coach. And the next thing you know, you're really not into the, you know, a Patrick Mahomes having Andy Reid for his whole career, right? And that makes a huge difference. And so there's a lot of pressure on everybody to perform, whether you're, you know, a draft pick, fourth round, you know, the receivers, DK, Imanner, right? Like there's pressure on them too to perform, because when you're 4-13, or when you're, whatever the record was it 4-13 last year?
3-14,
you obviously don't want to, yeah, 3-14, you don't want to repeat that. And so there's pressure on everybody from Callahan to Cam, you know, to make sure that this thing gets off on the right foot. And it starts obviously Wednesday with practice. Like there really can't be many days where they're taking steps backwards. Cause you know, once you go in, I mean, you're opening up. That's a tough one at Denver to start the year with that defense who really only added pieces to their defense. It's not like their defense has gotten worse. They were already a great defense last year, top 10 in a lot of categories, and now, you know, they draft a corner out of Texas, right? They've added pieces, so that's a really, really tough start. And so you can't have those days in camp where you're taking steps backwards. You got to be pushing forward. You know, Cam's going to have his days where, you know, he throws some picks, right? How does practice go against Atlanta? How does it go against Tampa? So I think there's pressure on everybody, but yeah, I mean, for Callahan and Cam to be on the same page, that's the start.
Yeah, Brett, to that point, too, talking about just the pressure on everybody's shoulders, we spoke earlier in the show about just Brandon Allen being that, I guess, player's coach on the sideline, now being that backup quarterback. You know, with the whole, I guess, conglomerate of Nick Holtz being, you know, Brian Callahan's right hand man when it comes to making decisions, you know, making plays, decisions, and so forth. Then you have Brendan Allen, who's been in the Brian Callahan offensive system for three seasons in Cincinnati. Do you prefer, just a spectator on the outside looking in, do you prefer a guy like that being a player's coach in some regard for a young quarterback in Cam Ward?
Yeah, because I think, you know, you have an offensive possession and you come to the sidelines, and not every time Brian's not going to be able to come over there and just sit down and talk with him. Like, he's got to go coach, right? He has to see what's going on with the defense and kind of how the game's flowing. And so to have somebody like Brandon Wright, who's, first of all, played in Brian's system, he's also played on the field and he sees it, right? He knows, you know, hey, if we call this play, I know the route concept, what defense they're playing. Hey, man, this is what you should be looking for, right? And so really it's Brian's voice to Cam. And so Brandon and Cam can be on the sidelines and they can be having conversations about, hey, man, look, you know, when last time I played, whenever it was against this game, whatever, this is what happened. Like, hey, you know, you make sure you're hitting this receiver. He's going to be open, right? So they can have those conversations that necessarily Brian and Cam can't have right on the spot after an offensive possession. And so to have somebody like that who's played in the system, who knows coach, you know, he knows his expectations, what to see. He's already seen it. I think that's huge for Cam and his development, because he's going to have to learn quickly, right? I mean, you might come out Denver and it might be tough sledding for the first half. You might have a game week three and it's tough sledding. And those conversations aren't always going to be able to be had between coach and player. And so for somebody like Brandon to be there, to be that voice, those eyes, everything for him, I think is going to be huge for Cam.
Brett, with training camp starting every year we have one, the training camp darling. Some guy that just shows up and pushes for a spot on the roster and ends up, you know, flaming out. Who in your mind this year who in your mind this year do you think could be the training camp darling?
I honestly don't know. I think for me, like when I was playing, obviously I looked at guys from like a special team standpoint. Like I'd always watch the DBs, the receivers, like, you know, who's that guy that could be that fifth receiver, sixth receiver that, is playing well at his position. That's first and foremost, the most important thing. Right. But then also somebody that can go out there and really contribute on special teams. And so I look at, you know, even like in the past, right. I was talking earlier about these draft picks, right. Like DK, Imanner, like they're fourth round picks. They're not going anywhere, right? But then, you know, I remember way back, I think it was 2013 with Jack Doyle, right? Who, you know, Western Kentucky product, ended up playing, you know, for the Colts for 9 years. We went to a Pro Bowl together. But, you know, at the time on the roster in 2013, it was Delanie Walker, right? Which we all know about Delanie, probably one of the best catching tight ends in the league, right? You had Craig Stevens, who was probably the best blocking tight end. And then you had Taylor Thompson, who was a fifth-round pick from the year prior, right? And we only kept three tight ends. But Jack Doyle was doing really, really well. And, you know, Taylor Thompson necessarily, you know, wasn't performing to what Jack was doing, but he was a fifth-round pick. And so I think it's really important for these draft picks, because the last thing you want to do is get rid of a Jack Doyle, right? A guy that was a nine-year vet, ton of catches, touchdown, you know, 30-plus touchdowns, right? Had a great career in Indianapolis. Like, or LeGarrette Blount, right? Somebody that comes in, it's like, well, there's not really a lot of room in the running back room, but, you know, somebody that they maybe brought in and drafted, well, they're going to keep him, right? And it's just, but the draft pick wasn't necessarily performing to maybe how LeGarrette was performing or Jack, but, you know, they obviously let him go because of numbers. And so I probably look at more like, how are the draft picks performing? Because the last thing you want is to let go of somebody to go somewhere else, and then they have a great career. And so I think the wide receiver room is going to be really interesting to watch. you know, obviously the top of the wide receiver room is pretty good. But then you look at the depth, like there's so many guys that, you know, you guys could probably spend two segments on, okay, hey, if they only keep, let's say they keep five, maybe let's say they keep six, right? You could probably spend two segments on trying to figure out the sixth, right?
Right.
And so I think it's just one of those things you just kind of have to watch, and you kind of see where guys are falling on the depth chart, you know, as you get to these preseason games. And I mean, there's going to be some darlings. I think there's going to be a couple of them. You know, I plan on coming out to practice and watch them, but, you know, hopefully your draft picks are performing to the level to where obviously they're worthy of their pick. Cause like I said, the last thing you want is to have somebody like, let's say, like a Bryce Oliver, who's, you know, he's performing really, really well, but then all of a sudden, you know, you have these draft picks and, you know, that are keeping the spot. And then it's like, what do you do with Bryce? Well, he had a great preseason, but I just don't know if we can squeeze him on that 53. You cut him. Man, what if he goes somewhere else and then starts performing well?
Well, Brett, appreciate the time. I was going to ask you real quick about NSC, but we kind of run out of time for the most part.
Go.
But what do you think, just real quick, about their whole 15-match unbeaten streak? It gets cut to Inter-Miami, and now they're back-to-back wins here at home, and they're honestly one of the top teams to go for the Supporters' Shield right now.
Yeah, the East is heavy, right? I mean, you got Cincinnati, Nashville, Philly, Columbus, Miami. Miami's got three games in hand. Miami still has to play Cincinnati twice, and they have the League's Cup. So Miami still has 16 games left. Nashville SC, obviously with the U.S. Open, they only have 11 left. I'm really curious to see how that works out. I think what I'm most excited about, we went to the Columbus game the other night, and it was crazy because Columbus was only playing three defenders, and two of them were kind of like attacking defenders. And rarely do you see Nashville SC with kind of you know, that long ball, right? And so, for example, Nahar hits that long ball, Surridge dribbles it down, crosses it to Mukhtar, goal. Like, I feel like Nashville SC is at a point where they can dissect you however they want to. You want us to play over top, play the long ball, guess what? We can do it. You want us to work up the left side with Daniel Lovitz, we can do it. You want to go the right side with Nahar, with our defenders as attacking defenders, we can do it. You want to go up the middle with Tagseth and that whole crew, Perez, we got it. And so I think for them, they're not like a one-trick pony. They beat Columbus 3-0 by doing it in a totally different style than probably what you saw against Toronto, right, where they're trying to work it up the right side with Nahar, and they won 1-0. So I think that's what's probably most exciting to me going forward in these last 10 games, and even the U.S. Open Cup, is just to kind of see how they're able to dissect each opponent based on what they're giving them, and they're winning. They're scoring. Sam Surridge, 18 goals, tied with Messi. I think Mukhtar's got – I think he has almost 100 shots, which is – I think third in the league. So it's definitely a fun product to watch, and I'm excited to see him going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the way BJ Callahan has kind of brought everything down to the basics and helping this all these guys develop throughout the season. Because at the beginning of the year, for me, looking at Nashville, I was like, oh, this is a good development year. You're able to establish a few key guys. But this team's well above schedule. Well ahead of schedule, excuse me.
Well, it helps, too, when you bring in a defender like Nahar, who's an MLS All-Star, and how he's able to bring the ball up, A, from his feet, you know, possession-wise. He can dribble. I mean, he's dribbling past guys, you know, sending crossers in over to Surridge, Mukhtar. You know, Lovitz can do the same thing on the left side. It's just it's honestly really enjoyable. It's an enjoyable product to watch, and they're seeing the fruit of the changes that BJ's made. And obviously going forward with this race, thankfully they've already played Philly twice. Mm-hmm. They still have to go to Cincinnati, you know, which will be a tough one. But obviously going to San Diego on Friday, who's, you know, the best team in the West. But, you know, like I said, it's just they're playing really well. It seems like they're gelling well as a team. Even when Perez not out there with suspension, you know, from his cards, you know, to come in, and they probably should have beat Toronto 4-5-0. But, I mean, they're slicing and dicing, and they're getting a lot of 3-point wins from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, Brett, appreciate the time. We'll talk more Calcio going forward coming up in a few days. I'll get a hold of you for that. But appreciate the time as always, Brett, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brett.
Brett Kern, talking a little Calcio, man.
I never thought I would experience Brett Kern talking soccer.
Dude's a big soccer guy.
He's into it, I can tell.
Yeah. I mean, when they're the best team in Nashville, you got to talk about it just a little bit.
I mean, yeah.
Just a tad bit. But you know what else is fun? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Celebrity birthdays. It is America's favorite game. It's pretty close to Where Are They Now? But
I think Where Are They Now is overtaking it.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But we'll get to that on the other side here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. All right, celebrity birthdays. Here we go, Connor. Are you ready? Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. I mean, this is it's America's favorite game. It's America's
soon to be second.
Oh.
Once our invention takes over.
Yes, our wonderful game of Where Are They Now. But as for now, it's celebrity birthdays brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Their commercial plumbing and HVAC division covers all of refrigeration, services, maintenance needed. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards. Parker, if you may.
Nope.
It's like this tall.
Magnum. Sorry.
There it is. Love it. Love it. Celebrity birthdays brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. First on the list, we have Global Hug Your Kids Day. Don't have any kids, but
I don't
have
any.
go give him a hug.
My wife has plants.
Doesn't count.
I'll hug kids I see today that I don't know.
You would say something like that.
Invite an alien to live with you day? Not going to do that. Legal drinking age day is
that was
today.
The plot of Superman.
Oh, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh. National Be Someone Day. Just want to be myself.
Just be someone.
Yep. National Get Out of the Doghouse Day. Probably after the comment you made there, Connor.
Connor's in the doghouse for sure.
I need to be. I pulled the go to jail card.
National Junk Food Day is today. So if you like eating some junk food, go get you some of that. National. All right, I was talking to you about this. I don't know what this is, but it looks delicious. National Lamington Day. It looks like a chocolate cake with.
Are we sure it's not like some Archduke of like Argentina named Lamington or something like that?
National Lamington Day. It's a picture of a chocolate cake with looks like white icing in between, like
with
a
lamb in it.
Oh, I wouldn't be opposed to that. National Tug of War Tournament Day today.
Brian Callahan rejoices.
Yes,
it's his favorite day.
It's his favorite day. I mean, if you want to go have a field day over at Titans training camp, go ahead.
I'm sure
do that. And then last one, but not least, Take a Monkey to Lunch Day. So. You know, if you have a pet monkey or whatever, you want to go to the zoo.
Connor,
feed him.
Stop
lunch.
It.
So, you ever been to the zoo, Connor?
Yes,
it's fun, isn't
it? I was raised there.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Good to know. All right. Well, going to celebrity birthdays. Everyone loves this game. We'll go first on the list. We have John Lovitz. He was featured in the movie The Benchwarmers. I don't know if you remember.
Oh yeah.
The very rich
Keanu
guy.
Keanu Reeves.
No. John Lovitz. He was the heavyset man in The Benchwarmers.
Well, Keanu Reeves was in that movie, right?
No.
In Benchwarmers?
In Benchwarmers, the baseball movie?
Oh, no.
John Wick?
I'm thinking of the football one.
John Lovitz.
Regardless, he's 62.
Okay, 62. Barger?
65.
He is 68. So right on the outside corner there. Next one we have is Juno Temple. She was in
Ted Lasso.
Yes, she was in Ted Lasso. Yep.
So. Oh, I have no earthly idea.
She is 41.
Okay.
39.
Close. 36.
How does this scoring system work?
It's by two. So if you said 38, you would have got 1 point. If you would have said 36, you would have got 2 points. Yeah, so you were a little bit off there. Next one we have is Paul Brandt. Paul Brandt, country music artist, Canadian. Country music artist.
Mm.
It's his birthday today.
I don't know who that is. 56.
Okay.
Paul Brandt sounds like a 62-year-old man.
He is 53. We are deadlocked at 0-0.
It's going to be a long
man,
one.
Man, barn burner.
Let's see. Actress Allie Landry. She appeared in a Doritos commercial that aired during the 1998 Super Bowl. So,
oh, okay.
If that gives you any context of how old she is.
63.
67.
52. God. And we roll on.
Actor, we're awesome at this game, Connor.
It's the greatest game of all time.
Actor terrific. Josh Harnett. He turns a certain age today. Fun fact, he starred in the film Fight or Flight last year.
I have no idea who that is either. 58.
I was going to say 57.
That's so 57? Incorrect. 47.
Wow. We're doing great.
Let's see. Some other notable birthdays here. Ooh, boy. This is tough. Blake Lewis.
Who?
Is American Idol runner-up.
Oh.
You don't know American Idol?
Oh, I know American Idol. 34.
Oh. 32.
44. All right. And you know what? We'll go with a sports birthday. Give me a
please,
second.
Please. Yeah. For the love of God. Oh, I just punched the mic like Joe Rex Road.
That's all right. Sports birthdays today. Let's see what we got here. Birthdays of this. Oh. You ready for this, Connor? How old is Bob Orton Sr.?
Cowboy. Bob Orton is 81.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I may have. He's, no longer with us. Excuse me.
Oh.
Sorry. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. You just broke my heart.
Sorry about that. How about, here we go. Norwegian soccer player for Manchester City, Erling Haaland.
Erling
Haaland. Are you kidding me right now?
Erling Haaland, 31.
It's what came up, man.
35.
Erling Haaland is not in his 30s. I believe it's, 20. 25. Yeah. So
wonderful.
Guys will end in a 0-0 draw.
The worst game ever played.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Sorry about that, guys. It just the birthday list was not kind to any of us today. But again, thank you all for listening to the Chase McJoe Show. DVD's coming up next. As Joe always says, you know, men, if you're struggling and you want to talk to somebody, always reach out to Chase, Big Joe, myself, Connor, Parker, whoever. Yeah, mental health is a big thing. I actually had to go to a family member of mine, a distant relative of mine, went to his funeral, and you know that was probably one of the things that took place was something like that. So it's never great to go to a funeral for somebody you know. If you have any sort of outlet to speak to somebody, we're always listening. Call 988. That's always a good way to do that. And, yeah, Connor, any more words after that?
Stay safe, people.
Stay safe.
I have one word. Happy anniversary to my wife, Angie Kelly.
Happy anniversary. How about that? Parker and his wife, Angie.
Screw you for being happy and married.
Well, that'll do it for us today on the Chase and Big Joe Show. DVD is up next. Stay tuned in on 102.5 The Game.